Okay. Very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 28th February, 2019, Thursday class. We are having it at Brother Teo and Sister Padmasri's house, huh? Now we compose our mind, get ready for puja. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, here can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Michachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dipena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina. Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang เอตังกสุมาสันตทินปุจายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาดาสารุโรเหปุจเจมิเนนะปุณเณนะมเตนะเจโหทุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตภานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตภาเลปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Now we are chanting the patipa. Oh, sorry, the puja aspiration, based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind.And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense.May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma,so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya,leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings.May this merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Bedang Pujayami.Dhammang Pujayami Sanghang Pujayami Okay, you all can be seated. We shall have half an hour of formal silent meditation. We will off the light. Then you all can start your meditation. So as usual,You just silent, everything relax, maintain awareness. Then just using your silent mind to observe. what happened to your form and mind. You will come to understand very clearly if you can do that. If you still have mental hindrance, means your spiritual faculties are still not stable, then you need to maybe train the mind. So if you want to go through the usual mind sweeping method followed by metta, you can do it. Otherwise, you straight away go to your object of meditation, relax, develop mindfulness of the object of meditation. If it's anapanasati, it's very simple. You just continue with the mindfulness of the in and out breath until it becomes very quiet, very still. Means by then, your mind has entered sati. Then the state of pasti will arise. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And that is your meditative mind. So you just train. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then after I will set the alarm. When the half an hour is up, you can mindfully, slowly come out of meditation. Okay, just relax body and mind completely, then silent. It's through your inner silence that you can develop awareness. The thinking, which is the habitual tendency, they still arise because maybe within your daily life, you are not able to maintain that daily mindfulness so well. So some form of thinking will still arise. But it's okay, just let it be silent. And when you continue to let it be silent, it will slow down. Slowly slow down until finally it stops. When it stops, that is the beginning of experiencing the true mind, the silent mind. The mind that is in stillness without thought. But if you are not able to maintain it for a long period, means you don't have the stability of mindfulness developed yet. So this state, it will be there for a while. Then after that, the thought will come back. But whatever happened, don't worry. Just silence everything and maintain your awareness. Then let the thought do what it wants to do. Do not force it. Do not oppose it. Do not try to control it or do anything. Just let it be. Then everything will start to slow down. Then the silence will come to be. That is the fastest way to develop sati, to develop pasti. Okay, so now I will let you meditate on your own. OK. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have had enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajas Sunantu Saddhamokhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Ato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatam veditato venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Puja. Padang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. You all can be seated. Then just relax body and mind. Maintain some more form of attention. Today I think I will go through this one with you. I just sent out one short link, a short note link. This one is the Tuesday class. I think dated 19 February. Yeah? So this Tuesday class one is very good. That's why I want to go to you. So it's based on the chapter 25, page 419 to page 427. And the title is Paticca Samuppada, yeah? The Dependent Origination. So if you have the handphone, you can on it. Yeah? I will go through you. The first item is this one, the draft was prepared by Yun Chan. Eh? Then I edited it. So she prepared the short note as follow. He said, Brother Teo revealed the 12-link or dependent origination teaching of the Buddha. Although the textbook described it as occurring over three lifetimes, but Brad Teo emphasized that this is not the case. Instead, these 12-link teachings are consistently occurring within every moment of our life. Birth, as described in the 12-link teaching, is not physical but mental birth, manifesting into speech and action, or what we call transgression. Upon contact, feeling immediately arise. Without wisdom, evil condition, craving and grasping, then becoming. Thereby, birth take place. Means manifesting into transgression. All these are mental, mind-made. Then for Puttajana, they are thinking, sankara, are based on ignorant avijja, and they tend to act from memory of past experiences via their views, opinion and mental conditioning. So this one you have to make a note. Eh? Before you are enlightened, you tend to do that. Whereas the Arya, enlightened noble being, having realized wisdom, they view the world from their true nature and understanding. Their volition, perception and thinking are with wisdom. There is no evil roots, and their five aggregates are non-grasping, means pure aggregate. So that is the major difference. Ignorant is not understanding non-self or anatta nature. And the four number truth. Ignorance is also latent in all moral activities. Human birth takes place when the following three supporting conditions are present. So this one is a very good revision. First condition, you must have a physical body. Means after conception of the ovum and the sperm. Then the second one is a rebirth consciousness. Then the third one is karmic force. This karmic force will become the life force, and it comes from the karmic nature to pump your heart. That's the reason why our blood will also have this life force. So your blood that goes through the heart when the life force pump, that consciousness actually went in. So this mind, life force energy or karmic force, they will introduce that consciousness into your blood. That's why when your blood goes around and nourish your physical body, as long as you are mindful, you are aware, you can connect to this consciousness in the blood. That's why you can sense them, you can be sensitive, you can feel all those things. Yeah. But wherever there is no blood, you can't. Yeah. Okay, I will read on. Because this one, I actually, to make it clear for you all, I took some information from the internet. Well, I also don't know how you all give birth to baby. So first month, second month, third month, I found it on the internet. Then I realized it matched with my understanding. So I will go through with you. Thus with sati, you can be aware of our, we can be aware of our whole body where there is blood. Our nerve is spread throughout our body to signal to us when any problem appears in our body. When we have our mindfulness developed, we can detect this sign quickly and take action to heal them. So this is what I mean by our body is already designed to allow us to understand that we have not been living our life in accordance. That's why evil surface in the form of sickness and disease to tell you that something is not right. So these are the signs. So when you receive this sign, you should know these are karmic. These are either your past action and the effect, or your recent lifestyle. If they are not in accordance, it will give rise to such problem. Then the next one is, when the three supporting conditions are in place, the being will arise. Means, not necessarily a human being. It can be a non-human, an animal, or whatever. So this is a living being. But at conception, the cells only starts to subdivide. You know, initially, the sperm and the ovum. So at conception, from that two cells, it will subdivide. Then as it subdivide, at that stage, the being is not formed at that time yet because no heartbeat. You remember I told you all, the rebirth consciousness is there, but the heartbeat is not there yet. Soon, the heart is the first organ to be formed with the life force within. That's how the powers of life come. So according to science, heartbeat begins on the third week of conception. So according to science, this one I got it from the internet, the process of conception leading to the fetus development are as follows. Month 1. The first month of conception with the implantation of the, this one I don't know how to pronounce, zygote, good, thanks. On the uterine wall, the uterus wall. Some of the multiplying cells develop into a baby, while the rest form the placenta that nourishes the baby. Then the heartbeat begins by the 21st day, and the spinal cord, nerve, and muscle starts developing by the fourth week. See? slowly it comes together. And the heartbeat means the life force, the pulse of life. We call it the karmic force from your karmic nature that come and support this form and mind. That trigger off the animation of this living being to make it alive. So this is how it comes about. Oh, my battery going to Kong. I hope I can finish it. Then month number 2, as you enter the second month, the tiny life is no more called a zygote, but an embryo, which is just a fraction of an inch long, still very small. The heart and a basic blood circulatory system are in place. Pancreas, liver, and stomach are formed. The limb buds are distinct now. By the end of this month, all the facial features starts developing. Month 3. Starts developing muscle and bones, teeth, buds, and fingers and toes. After 10 weeks, the baby is called a fetus. By week 12, the fetus will measure around 3 inch and weigh about an ounce. The skin is transparent, eyelids are closed, muscle and nerve are developing. The fourth month begins, the fetus begins to suck with the mouth. The eyebrow, eyelashes and fingernail has grown. Fingerprints are evident. The skin has a wrinkle appearance. The kidneys start functioning by producing urine. Sex determination is possible by this month through an ultrasound scan. That's why the fourth month they can tell you whether it's a boy or a girl. Then bowel movement starts and meconium is produced in the intestinal tract. Then the fifth month, the size is about 6 inch and weight is about 9 ounces. The movement becomes more distinct and frequent. The skin develops fine hair called lanugo and a waxy coating called vinix for protecting and covering the thin skin. Then it can start hearing and swallowing. So month 5, all these are in place. Then month 6, measure around 12 inches and weigh about 2 pounds. The bone marrow begins formation of red blood cells. Taste buds are formed, lungs develop, but not completely. The eyes begin to open and the hair starts growing. Develops reflexes. Genitals are developed faster with boy having testicle descending into scrotum and girls having ovary with eggs for the lifetime. Then after that, the number 7. The gateway to our nature and the seat of consciousness are within our heart area. The feeling or emotional body also reside within this heart. So this one is a very good outline summary of what birth is all about. So a lot of Buddhists don't understand. They are still arguing about like reincarnation and all those things. So they thought rebirth, something transmigrate over. The Buddha make it very clear, nothing transmigrate. The Buddha in the Paticca-samuppada, he tell you there are 2 type of Paticca-samuppada. One is the instantaneous one that happen every moment, every instant within the form of mind. The other one is over 3 period of time, 3 lifetime. That one is not so useful. But when it comes to death, the Buddha make it very clear. He said, upon death, there is a death consciousness. And he called it Jyoti, Chitta. So this one, death consciousness, the last thought moment, will condition rebirth consciousness. There is a name for it, rebirth consciousness. I think they call it, if I'm not wrong, is Patisandhi Chitta. So immediately upon the death consciousness, then it conditions rebirth consciousness. This one is just one consciousness. But it has all the imprint of the karmic. And that one, depending on the karmic nature's condition, it will choose its birth. But for normal people, you have no choice. The law of karma decides. Because you don't have the understanding, you don't have the aspiration, the vow, and all those understanding. So you cannot choose. So it will straight away go there. But like we know, upon conception, the sperm and ovum, when the fertility period is there, because for those who study biology, you will know, well, I study biology when I was in Form 5. You have this sperm that can survive for maybe about 3 days maximum, 2 or 3 days. But the egg, the ovum, when they are released, they can only survive for 24 hours. So the chances of conception is just that. That 3 days and that 1 day, the ovum, the fertile period. So during that time, if conception takes place, then it is only a single cell organism coming together, fusion, they call it. Then it starts to subdivide. Then at the third week, 21 days later, then only the heartbeat of the fetus come, the baby, the pulse of life. So this one is confirmed by science. So now you know, the karmic force will come later. Then it will activate the fetus, the baby's heart. Then, because it's still connected to the mother's womb, the mother's body through the umbilical cord, together with the placenta. So it will receive most of its nutrient or food requirement from the mother. But it will, at the same time as it grows, the cells, as it subdivide and grow, then it become more and more complicated. Then it become more and more developed until the fetus is independent to live on its own. Then only you can have birth. Then the physical birth, after that, you can cut off the umbilical cord. Then after that, you do what you need to do so that there is no complication. Then the baby will come to the world. The first gasp of air. Then there is this natural tendency to cry. The crying is a natural tendency. The gasps for air and all those things. So this is human birth, the birth process. But for non-human, they don't have a proper physical body. Theirs is, according to the Buddha, spontaneous, instantaneous birth. Immediately, death consciousness, condition, rebirth consciousness, then that whole thing come out. That's why those who are born as devas, non-human, immediately they come out. They don't need to wait for 10 months or 9 months. They don't need to wait for conception and all those things. So these are the various type of possibility of birth. And in the teaching, if I'm not wrong, the Buddha did mention there are quite a number of type of birth. There is also one, I forgot already, like the butterfly. their birth is different. They go through the lava, the metamorphosis and all this thing. So that one, again, different. So there are a few types, I remember the Buddha described them. But for us, mammal, we tend to have this, what they call the womb type of birth, go through the womb. Okay, so this is the part I want to brief you all, because you are from Thursday class. You don't have a chance to listen to this. Yeah? So this is to help you understand. That's why the Buddha's teaching is very unique. There is no such thing as a reincarnated consciousness. You know what they mean by reincarnation? Or they call it, there is this soul, they call the soul, S-O-U-L. He said this soul, when you die, come out, and this one go to another body. You understand? Take over that body. Are you reincarnated there? Yeah. The Buddha said no such thing. Really, no such thing. If you reincarnate there, you will remember most of the thing in there. Or almost 70-80% of the thing in there. But how come there is no memory? Hardly any memory. So there is a lot of things that you will understand. Then later on when you meditate, when you understand the consciousness clearly, how the conscious mind can cease, the mundane mind, then how you can realize the unconditioned Nibbana. Then from there, after that, how it come back and animate you back into a human form and mind. Yeah. Then you will understand clearly what this form and mind is all about. Then you will understand clearly what life is all about. Yeah. Not what you think. Yeah. Because our physical body, when you go through the cessation, your brain completely stopped. Yeah. But you are not dead. You are not dead. There is no sankhara, no activity, no movement, no consciousness, nothing. Everything just ceased. No pulse, no heartbeat, nothing. But you are not dead. That is the beauty of Nibbana, the unconditioned. Then when it come back, the form and mind, because it's inside there, connected to what happened, you will understand. The form and mind, before the cessation happened, you will also understand, because it is fully aware. That's why you will know what this is all about. But the moment the cessation happened, you cannot describe, you cannot talk, because it has nothing to do with mind. You understand? Because it is the unconditioned. Yeah. But you will understand how all this is, everything is. Then how the three areas of consciousness come back into one, and from there it is. Go back to the gateway, is. Then later on when it come back, it's from the gateway again. That consciousness come back. Yeah. Then from there how it go back into the three area, then how it activate the brain. Like a dynamo, I use to say, zoom, you start again. But no sound. Then one area of consciousness will go to your tan tian, one to your heart area. Then the heart start to pump again. Then the blood send the nourishment and the various nutrients to your whole entire physical body. Then you become a conscious being again. You animate back. So this one, you cannot find in any book. Nobody write about it though. Except the scientists know the first month, second month, third month, fourth month, fifth month. As mother, you all deliver baby, do you all know all this? You got read up. Yeah, you all definitely read up. Then when is the time they can kick you? 16 weeks, so fast. 4 months they can kick you already. Oh, When my wife asked me to feel, I think that was quite advanced already, at least 6 months already. And really, when they kick, the whole thing like round out, they come out. Oh, I say so amazing. That is good news, means your baby is alive. When they don't feel the kick, a lot of mother panic, how come my baby is not kicking? But sometimes it's like that one, where they choose not to kick. I think they are meditating inside there. Or they are asleep, the mama sleep is not active. So very interesting, as a mother, you can experience all this where the man cannot experience. We can only read about it. So this is what life is all about. Okay, I have finished my part. Do you have any question in regards to this understanding? Well, this is something that you have to develop the understanding so that when you meditate later on, when you go through all this transformation, you will understand them very clearly. It's no more a theory, it's no more a knowledge. It's direct understanding. Yeah, Ingby.
Yeah, but from your Tuesday class recording, keep hearing this pure feeling. Pure feeling. Because feeling, according to Buddha, is three types, pleasant, unpleasant, and the neutral feeling.
Yes, yes.
So maybe Ratio can elaborate further on this pure feeling. It's a direct feeling without thoughts and what else?
It's not only without thoughts. Pure feeling means there is no grasping. There is no avijja. Understand? That's why it cannot condition craving. So feeling by itself is an aggregate. You know what is an aggregate, huh? The aggregate, like the Buddha said, when you do Vedana Nupassana, you're supposed to be aware. So the Buddha explained, he said, when there is this pleasant feeling, you must be aware. When there is this unpleasant feeling, you must be aware. When there is this neutral feeling, you must be aware. So these three types of feeling, the reason why the Buddha want you to develop the sati or the awareness of it is because you are supposed to understand that your mind is no longer in the state of equanimity. You understand? It has stir. Stir through what? The first two, pleasant and unpleasant, they are related to the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will. The third one, before you are enlightened, it can be a neutral feeling, but is born of delusion. You understand? Because nothing to do with you, understand? There is nothing for you to attach. So this type of neutral feeling can happen when something happened to somebody else, not linked to you, not related to you, or an event happened overseas. Understand? It may be a major event, very, very destructive or damaging. But to you, we are so far away, you don't perceive it with understanding. Then sometimes you can just talk about it, laugh about it. But it doesn't really affect you. So your feeling is neutral, understand? Of course, there will be some form of excitement or some form of like you feel very bad. Like certain people, they felt it's like they think it's, they are being compassionate because they feel sorry about what happened. So these are the various movements of feeling. But when you are enlightened, especially when you are an arahant and beyond, that feeling doesn't move. You remember in the retreat, I always share this with you. You can be at the moment of feeling, it stops there. You can be at the moment of perception, it just stops there. That's why you must have that type of stability of mindfulness. Then at the moment of sankhara too, you can be aware of that movement when the form and mind want to create that type of sankhara movement. But then because there is no more ignorance, no more avijja, so all this movement, they are pure feeling. Then of course, there can be certain type of like joy and all, they still feel, understand? Like calmness, stillness, tranquility, silence. But the negative one no more, understand? It cannot be conditioned into anger, emotion, fear, nothing. But you know, all these are not real. That's why feeling can remain as pure feeling. It doesn't condition craving. But it can live life, understand? It can have joy, it can have happiness, it can have all the beautiful mind states. Tranquility, stillness, and all those things. That's why life becomes wonderful. So pure feeling, you cannot like want to understand it as a theory. You have to be in that transformed state to understand what pure feeling is. Before the initial wisdom, totally no, not possible. At least the initial wisdom must be there, yoniso manasikara. So when there is yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom born on the first and second turning. And most people who have their past developed or cultivated, the first two turning can awaken them where they connect back. Understand? They inherit their past very fast. So straight away, like Sariputta, hearing from Asaji, no need to hear from the Buddha, he awakened. Then like Huining, somebody chant the Diamond Sutta, one stanza come out, he awakened. We are, these are people who have developed the cultivation very, very well. And they have their understanding, perfection, long developed. That's why the moment they hear, first turning, they awaken. Then some, not that stable, not that well developed. But when they hear it for the first time, it will connect to something. They know this is important, this is beautiful. But they have some understanding, but not deep, not penetrative. It cannot awaken them. Then they will go and reflect on it, contemplate and inquire into it. And then that second turning is like when you reflect, contemplate and inquire, means whatever teaching that you have heard, the Dhamma, through hearing, you start to reflect, contemplate, then you start to stabilize the understanding. You understand? After you stabilize, what you do? You assimilate them. You take them in. You understand? That's why the second turning is always about reflection, contemplation, inquiry, to stabilize the understanding. Then you assimilate them in. Then when this one stabilizes, that second turning wisdom is very powerful. It can really give rise to a lot of understanding. That's why during that time, your initial wisdom will come to be. Then at the moment of sense experience, you do not stir like before. The like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction of mind, they completely start to slow down or become less and less, less and less. Well, you understand. Because by then, the initial wisdom would let you understand the three universal characteristics to a certain extent. You will see impermanent. That's why after that, your daily mindfulness will also come in. Sati sampajana. Then you will see your mental intention, everything, and how they condition and stir your mind and cause you to be reactive, emotional, and how feeling condition craving and make you heedless and give rise to all the connecting link leading to suffering. Then when you understand all this, when you start to see things more clearly, then you start to straighten your view. You start to tell yourself, why should I react? Why should I stir my mind? That anger was never me. Fear was never me. They were not there before it arise. Then how did it arise? they are dependent originating due to your wrong view. When you act according to memory, views, opinion, and conditioning, you stir your mind because you still don't understand. Where you still have your like and dislike, your craving. You want things your way. And that is the cause of suffering. So because of that, you start to straighten your view, then you tell yourself, like the Buddha said. The Buddha in the teaching make it very clear. You should develop the direct seeing, direct knowledge and vision of the reality to see things as they are. That's why this one you have to contemplate and realize it. Why did the Buddha say see things as they are? Aren't we seeing things as they are or this one? You never. You see things according to your what? Your conditioning, isn't it? That's why you label everything. You perceive everything according to your views, opinion, and conditioning. And you are not seeing things as they are. When you see things as they are, means that reality. No word, no name, no concept. You understand? That is the direct seeing. But your mind cannot be in that state unless you have the initial wisdom. When the initial wisdom is there, your mind does not stir like before. You understand? So this habitual tendency, no more, rooted out. Then you have more moment of silence, more moment of clarity, awareness. That's why your mindfulness becomes more, 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 more. Then finally, when you have the initial wisdom, very stable, you hardly think. That is the time where the third turning is going to happen. Means you are ready, where your daily mindfulness has stabilized. Means after your yoniso manasikara, you're supposed to develop the sixth step. And the sixth step is daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. So when you do that, you are mindful, you are aware. You can see your mental intention, your evil root, everything. That's why after that, the next step is sense restraint. You definitely can do it after that. Because your four right effort will allow you to do it. So the sense restraint, once it's developed, you cannot break your precept anymore. You understand? Then you can arise the three way of right conduct. Right speech, right action, and right thought. After that step only, you go and cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. That is after overcoming covetousness and grief. You cannot have craving to cling on to things anymore because your understanding is there. Then you don't have any more sorrow, lamentation, or you cannot become unhappy, grief. By then, you are at least sotapan. Otherwise, you cannot reach that state. Yeah. In fact, the initial wisdom can transform you. Yeah. Then the daily mindfulness must be there for the direct seeing, the awakening to the three characteristics. Yeah. So this is how the Avijja Sutta, the 10th step, is very important. Yeah. And after you have finished the four foundations of mindfulness, you will understand why the Buddha say under Vedana Nupassana, which is linked to Engbi's question on feeling. And what is pure feeling? Pure feeling is a neutral feeling born of wisdom. You understand? With equanimity, enlightenment factor. Not the one conditioned state or suppression or control. That one is different. Then not the one born of, they call what? Just now I used that word. Because it doesn't affect you, understand? What? Unwhat? Indifferent. Sorry, I can't recall the word. The word just missing. It's not born of indifference. Nothing to do with you, understand? Not related to you. So that one also. Neutral, understand? I neither get unhappy or happy, understand? Well, nothing to do with me, no reward, no gain, no loss, understand? That one is avijja, ignorant, sakkaya ditti. So the pure feeling, none of the three, you have to awaken first. That's why you must have wisdom. That's why the enlightenment factor, you know how the seven factor enlightenment come to be there. Right? I explained before there. Right? I think we better do it again, so that you understand deep. I better write it down. Because they told me in the Tuesday class, the 12 link, if I just share like that, nobody understand. But when I wrote it on the whiteboard, they find it so interesting. Okay, now slowly. Because now you got more opportunity to understand. Last time, I cannot go deep into all this because no meaning. You are not ready. So now it's easy. You see, the seven factors of enlightenment, the first one is what? Sati, yes. So I write this, seven factors of enlightenment. So this sati is the first one. And sati is very important because sati is mindfulness. Without sati, there is no meditation. You understand? Without sati, there is no mindfulness, no awareness. You cannot see. You are like blind. Without sati, you cannot have heedfulness. You understand? And the heedless are as if dead. Very clear. Without sati, you cannot cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. True or not? Again, you are dead. The whole spiritual path is not there. So sati is very, very important. And sati has to develop until it becomes apamada, heedfulness. That's why you have to stabilize that sati. Then after it's stabilized, use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. That's why it's ever mindful. When sati stabilized, it becomes ever mindful. Then you use that to cultivate noble eightfold path. It becomes apamada. You become heedful. And heedfulness is the path to the depths. The heedful nevada. So that is the meaning. So with sati as the first enlightenment factor, you will be able to develop the second factor of enlightenment. What is the second one? Dhamma investigation. Dhamma vichaya or investigation. So this Dhamma vichaya is very important. Dhamma vichaya. Or Dhamma investigation. Dhamma investigation. Because without sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma. You agree or not? Because the Buddha said the three evil root, greed, hatred, and delusion, they are the root of all evil. How are you going to check? Without sati, you cannot check, isn't it? Your mental intention, all you cannot see. And what constitutes evil also you don't understand. So when you put it to test, then you realize it's stand up to investigation, what happened? You have faith in the Buddha's teaching, understand or not? You have joy. This is what I'm looking for. It can explain all of life. The secret of life. And when I understand the secret of life, I know how to live my life. And I know how to change over for the better and transform. And it can awaken me. And what are you waiting for? You understand? So with that Dhamma investigation, you will have faith in the Buddha. Then what would happen to you when the faith comes? It will drive you to cultivate. Okay? And what is that? Virya. That is the third enlightenment factor. That's how you will condition virya. The third enlightenment factor. Where you see the truth of this teaching, the beauty of this teaching, it stand up to investigation, like the Buddha said, under the salutation to the Dhamma, ehi pasiko. Okay? So once virya comes, means it drives you to cultivate. What do you cultivate? What do you cultivate? That one later. Before that, You cultivate heedfulness, isn't it? So to cultivate heedfulness, you have to go to sati first, isn't it? When there is sati, when you have sati, there is no thought, isn't it? True or not? When your mindfulness is continuous, like when you do anapanasati, what will you experience? You will experience joy, isn't it? Of course, initially it's tranquility, lah. No. Before tranquility is peace. Peace, then you will experience pity, isn't it? That joy, that spiritual joy, that spiritual rapture. Your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful. And there is a type of joy. That's why the fourth enlightenment factor is pity. And all this will happen by itself. It's a natural tendency. Then after this, they don't understand the rest. And you know what they tell you? Pity means you progress already, which is not wrong. And they ask you to, every time, try to get it. Understand? You are not supposed to attach to it. When you hit this pity, you're supposed to, what must you do? Very good. Relax. Don't go and focus and concentrate. Relax into it. And let it become more quiet, more refined. Then what happened? It will lead to the fifth enlightenment factor, which is paucity. And people don't understand what this particular factor of enlightenment is all about. This is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, miss out a few words. Investigation. Thank you. Sadhu. So this one, tranquility or stillness of mind. This is where they don't understand. You're supposed to relax into it, and it can actually go through piti, leading to sukha. Understand? No? Sukha. But sukha is not an enlightenment factor. So this one is blissfulness of mind. You will go through it, but you continue to relax and silent. Don't do anything until this one also become very fine, very still. So when this one both become very fine and very still, your mind become very quiet until like no more movement. Even your breath become like subtle breathing, no breathing at all. It's mainly internal, very short breathing. But that one, without the very stable sati, you cannot feel. That's why you need to allow this paucity, tranquility or stillness of mind. It means the mind doesn't move at all. There is no movement, no thinking. But it's not in concentration. You understand? This one is a free mind. This one is a free mind. This one is very important. And because it is a free mind, it is fully aware. You understand? Yeah. Then this one, you have to stabilize it. You have to stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. So when this one stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. So once it is stabilized, it becomes samadhi. That's why I say in the formal meditation, this paucity, you must develop it. If you cannot develop it, you don't stand a chance in the daily life. This is the one that has to be very stable. And this one, if you don't understand, you can never get it. You know why? they are using the thought to meditate. You know, when your breath become very subtle, or your rising and falling become very subtle, you know what they tell you to do or not? Yeah? The traditional vipassana that you learn. He asks you to go and note sitting touching. And the worst is to note. The moment you verbalize and you use your thought, you can never hit this state. And they don't know what this state is. Well, this state is the sudden shift from a noisy mind, when the mundane mind stops or completely ceases. You haven't gone into cessation, no. This one is just the thought no more. It's just the awareness, the conscious mind that is completely silent. The awareness still got specific movement, understand? Or spacious awareness. It's still some awareness there. But this one, completely no movement. No spacious awareness, no specific phenomenal awareness. It's just still silent. Don't do anything. And when you hit this one, when this one stabilizes, samadhi is there. When you hit samadhi and this one, every slightest movement in your body is like magnified. And you know what will happen when you hit this one. When you hit pasati, your mind will start to enter sati. Mind starts to enter sati. Means your mind will be in sati. This one is most important. I better use this one.
But here, this mind enter sati is mundane mind or the true mind?
The mundane mind is the thought. Always remember that. No, it's the thought. When there is no thought, what is that mind? That is your true mind. But this one starts to enter sati. Understand or not? Means this mind is in sati now. But initially not stable. Then when it stabilized, this mind that is in sati and stabilized, you know what happens when you come out of the meditation? Every moment of seeing is in sati. Every moment of hearing is in sati. Every moment of smell, taste, tactile, or thought movement is in sati. Well, your mind has transformed. It has become very different. Do you follow? If I don't explain it this way, there is no way you can get it. Because earlier on, I cannot go this depth and distance because you are not ready. And I tell you also, you cannot hear anything or understand anything. But now it's different. The consciousness has evolved. And a lot of things that happen, like the Tuesday class, Thursday class, and the Sunday class, they are all different type of Dhamma that wants to come up. That's why once this one is understood, this is how your mind enters sati. And when your mind is in sati, everything you do is in sati. You understand? That's why you can have specific phenomenal awareness. You can have spacious awareness without a center. Then when you hit this stage, you will become enlightened very fast. You know why? Sati, samadhi, or pasati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are. And you will awaken. You will insight into phenomena. You will develop the awakening. And when the wisdom comes, what will happen? Samadhi, you will be transformed into upeka. And upeka is the last factor of enlightenment. This one is born of wisdom, nothing else. And this one is a free mind. This one is also a free mind. Double K. Oh yeah, maybe yeah. One P double K. Okay. Thank you. So this one, 1B, yeah? Upe ka. Huh? Not? Oh, double K. Yeah. yeah. I thought, why short of one word? Double K, yeah? Upe ka. Okay. So this is how the seven factors of enlightenment comes to be. And when you are on the right path, all these seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. That's why you will know that you are on the right path. And if you cannot have any of the factor of enlightenment coming, and you think you are already enlightened, please go and check. You understand? Because when you are transformed, you hold the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. When the wisdom arises after Pasati and Samadhi, through the direct seeing, the insight into phenomena, the awakening, that wisdom will ensure your mind is always equanimous. You understand? And this one has got no delusion because it's born of wisdom. And it's a free mind. The free mind is equanimous. You no need to be in a concentrated state or conditioned state. That's why the Buddha is the Buddha because he can be at peace in the midst of life. In the midst of society, he is not only peaceful when he is in the monastery. The third type of peace, Upadhi Viveka. So this is how the seven factor of enlightenment is to be understood and developed. That's why I can tell you it's not easy. So in the Tuesday class, I was trying to explain to Yun Chan. No? I say even with the sasana, you find it so difficult to understand. Without the sasana, you think you stand a chance. You completely don't stand a chance, I tell you. Yeah. You know why you don't stand a chance. Even let's say my nature come. No use. Because there is no teaching to support what I understand. You understand? Then when I explain, who tell you all this? Where do you learn all this? Like the merchant that met the Buddha, the first one. He said, I got no teacher. Nobody taught me. You say, crazy. Then he walk away. You understand? Because there is no sasana. There is no framework of the teaching. Now I can teach because the framework is there. Understand? I can explain to you. And do you know how easy to go wrong on this teaching? The word sati alone is not easy to understand. If you cannot understand sati, all the other things break down. Do you understand? And the three right view, even the four noble truths, the first noble truth final summary is what? You need to understand the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. That one also they cannot understand. Without mindfulness, you cannot see. And when you cannot see, you cannot explain. And the 12 link dependent origination, they cannot explain. That's why they use the three lifetime. But when you develop it through the meditative understanding with the sati, very stable, you can see all the link. How before you awaken the avijja, condition sankhara, the thinking. Then how thinking make contact and trigger of mental consciousness. Then how you input the content of consciousness. All this you will see them. But if you don't have that type of sati and understanding, you cannot see them. Then you will be interpreting what the Buddha teach to what? To what the textbook tell you. The three period of time and all those things. Even this pasati. Have you heard anybody taught you? They only quote the word. They cannot even explain to you what this thing is and how to develop it. And this samadhi also is always translated as what? Concentration, jhana, and all those things. That's why it's very easy to debate. when you don't have the understanding, motivate. Even after I try to share all this, it took you quite a while, isn't it, to really come to the understanding. That's why this year the retreat will be very different. A lot of you will become different. Yeah? Because with this understanding, you go in and do the meditation, you will progress very fast. You will no longer like last time, still got doubt and your old habitual tendency of doing the old way, still there. Once you understand it very clearly, you got no more doubt. And you will just go and do with understanding. Then you will know how to develop the silent mind. No need to do anything. No need to focus. No need to concentrate. Just silent, relax, aware. Until the mind becomes very quiet, very still. Yeah. That is the free mind in the state of tranquility, stillness. Without that, you cannot be aware. Without that, you cannot stabilize that sati. And you cannot be in the state of daily mindfulness, having samadhi. That's why last time I remember Envy asked me, samadhi in the daily life, is through this. Yeah. That's why at that time I keep on stressing to you, you must have very stable daily mindfulness. Then when that one stabilized, only in the midst of life, you can have this samadhi. Yeah. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Any more questions? You should ask. Clear? Pass the mic to. Oh, yeah, very good. Now Joseph also got a question. Angie also got a question.
With regards to right effort, I know that from what I understand is that Brother Teo has been emphasizing that we want to still our mind, we are keeping peaceful, calm, but when we talk about the right effort, promoting right thoughts, clamping down evil thoughts. So, but is it better to be not to try to give rise to good thoughts or wholesome thoughts?
Okay, I know what your question is. I will answer you.
Thank you.
Because I think you came late. That's why you cannot understand the first part. Last time during the early days, I explained this. The four right efforts are thought based. Always remember, they are thought-based. They are not mindfulness. You understand? But this thought-based is designed by the Buddha to allow you to cultivate initially. So what the Buddha tells you is the first right effort. You must arise the first right effort to abandon what? The unwholesome or wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has arisen. That's why it's related to thought. Understand? So, how to know that they have arisen? You must have sati, understand or not? Mindfulness, aware. When you are aware, there is still this evil root of greed, hatred, fear, emotion. Means these are evil root, these are wrong thought. Evil condition, coming negativity. So I need the right effort. Right effort means there is a type of effort. Understand not? Means instead of virya, a spiritual zeal to drive you because you haven't investigated in the Dhamma. You understand? You don't have that faith yet. But you know this is evil. You know it has to be abandoned. So what do you do? No, how to abandon? The Buddha teach you the five ways to abandon them. What are the five ways? First, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. This one is still thought-based, isn't it? When you are radiating metta, when you think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, when you have anger, you think of love. When you have this metta in you, when you wish people well and happy, can you be angry? You can't, isn't it? Your mind can only do one thing at a time. If there is joy, there is happiness, there is love, there cannot be the opposite. Understand? But this one cannot be useful in life. Understand? Every time you get angry, you come back and do metta. It cannot allow you to live life. Understand? But it's a temporary measure. So to me, if you want to cultivate loving kindness, metta, or karuna, or whatever, the beautiful mind state, it's up to you. But like Krishnamurti say, goodness cannot be cultivated. Understand? Goodness arises through understanding. When there is no understanding of what love is, then your love becomes a mundane love, conditioned love. Understand? You know what is conditioned love? As a mother, you will know. My children, I can sacrifice. I can do everything. Understand? But nothing to do with me, that love fly out the window. Understand? Who are you? You are not even my girlfriend, or not even my boyfriend, or not even my relative. Why should I help you? See, that is conditioned love. But a mother, through this conditioned love, can really sacrifice and do everything. Understand? But there is no selfishness involved. They can really, especially our culture, the hard-earned money or the saving, they can just give to the children to have further education or start their business. They can sacrifice just like that, without thinking of motive, reward, nothing. So that type of love is also very powerful, very genuine, but it's a condition attached love. Understand? That's why it's called a conditioned love. So no use. So don't cultivate virtue or goodness. You cannot cultivate. You know, when you don't have the understanding, it doesn't come. All this comes with understanding. When you understand, when you are incapable of evil, what happened to you? You are automatically good, isn't it? Yeah, you got no more the evil roots to make you deceptive, cunning, selfish. When all these are no more, you are naturally a good person. Understand? So don't try to be good. Don't learn to be good. Don't practice to be good. You cannot practice. All this comes from understanding. When you understand, then it surfaces. When you don't understand, you need to practice, it becomes thought. Understand? Thought-based. Thought becomes knowledge. So they say, the Buddha, like Jun Chan asked the question, he said, all Buddha also teach us to do dana, generosity. Then Jun Chan asked, then why Brother Teo say, before you are enlightened, all this is with delusion? Then he said, I quote, hardly any merit. Because like that emperor, what's the name of the emperor? Bodhidharma. Yeah. Emperor Wu. Not Wu, the male one. Liang Wu Ji. Liang Wu Ji. Liang Wu Ji. He asked Bodhidharma, I have followed your advice, built all the monastery, sponsor all the, what they call, writing of the sutta, sponsor all the monks' daily requisite and needs, and cultivation and all those things. How much merit do I have? Bodhidharma tell him zero. Because Bodhidharma is an enlightened being. If you talk about true merit, it must be free of greed, hatred, and delusion. As long as you are not enlightened, the self-delusion, sakkayaditti, is always there. The egoic mind is always there. So whatever thought you arise is with that self-delusion. It cannot be a pure thought. Then most of the action is out of what? Because you think there is a reward, there is merit, then you do. If there is no reward, you don't want to do. Understand or not? So your action is based on greed for the merit, the subtle greed, not the major greed. Understand? Because it is a reward that tempts you to do. So all your action is out of that craving or that desire, may be subtle, to receive that merit. Understand or not? So behind the action is not a pure action. There is self-delusion and the subtle greed behind, because this is meritorious. But when you do with understanding, when there is condition to do, you do the off the thing, off it first, the echo already, off already. Yeah. Never mind, I think it's this one. Yeah, too close, yes. So what happened is, before you are enlightened, try not to do good. No use, understand? No? It's still with that thing. But no harm, like donation and all those things, no harm. Tinted merit is still merit, understand? Better than you not doing it and do evil, understand? So tinted merit is still merit. But if you are a cultivator, you know, you will have different understanding. Do you know why? Because when you have that understanding, when you are able to arise one pure thought, free of greed, hatred, and delusion, you know the merits of having that one pure thought according to Mahayana Sutta, you know how much is the merit or not. The normal tinted merit cannot compare. Way beyond. So why you greed for merit before you are enlightened? When you are enlightened, when you are awakened, that pure thought is always there. And the wholesomeness that arises from whatever you do is immeasurable. Even one respect to the Triple Gem. The other thing is, when you proceed with your cultivation, this one is trying to give us some, what they call, he don't want me to share too much. Because there are sometimes this type of thing. No, never mind. It's okay. Leave it. Yeah, leave it. It will become okay. Or turn there a bit. Turn over there. That's why I cannot talk about it or complain. This one can get angry. Also. Is it okay? No. Sometimes you have to understand, you have to be very patient. If you react and get angry, finish the condition of God. That's why you must not allow the condition to arise for coming negativity to arise. Whatever happens, remember my advice. Don't react, don't get angry. Can do that, huh? Your husband punk scold you also. Don't react. Don't do anything. Thank you. Thank you for testing me. Well, then you pass already. You are my love. Without you, I never learn. That was Socrates. You know what Socrates said? He got a wife that nagged him a lot. Really? His wife every time nagged him and said, why are you so stupid? Actually, Socrates was very wise, way ahead of his time. But because he wanted to speak the truth, they put him in jail. Understand? He would have enjoyed a lot of things because they were willing to recognize him and make him somebody. But he refused. And the wife said, why are you so stupid? And keep on nagging him. And he used to tell his friend, then they come. He said, my wife is not bad. In fact, he is my greatest teacher. You know what he said? He teach me patience. You know what is patient or not? Patient endurance. Even he nag him until like that, he just listen. He never react. He maintain patient endurance, kanti, with understanding. He didn't suppress them. So all this is understanding. When you understand, it's free. So coming back to the four right effort, the first one is the right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen, or wrong speech, wrong action. So the five way to overcome it, the Buddha has taught. The first two is thought-based. He said, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Again, it's thought. Again, it's thinking. That's why the four right effort is not sati. It's not called the four foundation of mindfulness. It's the four right effort. This one, effort is involved. And effort is vayama. Understand? It's not virya. You go and check the Noble Eightfold Path. Sama vayama. It's not sama virya. That's why they go and translate virya as effort. It's wrong. Virya is spiritual zeal, tenacity, a type of energy that drives you to practice. The second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to the wrong thought. So if you think of the consequence, you will be able to develop the wisdom. Are not so sensitive. So the second right effort is also thought-based. Think of the consequence. Consequence means what? If I were to hold on to this wrong thought, which has the anger, the hatred, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, these are evil, make me evil. What will happen to me? It's the evil root. It make me evil. Karmic downfall. It's the three poison. It will kill me spiritually. Is that what you want? This is your life. You ask yourself. So when you think, reflect on the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought, you will never, never do it. You know, that is foolishness. That is stupidity. Ignorance. That's why you were determined to abandon it. You are not going to allow it to stay there. And how to do it? The real way. The third way is the meditative way. What did the Buddha advise under the third way? He just say, aware or mindful. When you are mindful of that emotion, that anger, or that hatred, or that fear, what happened? You don't feed it with any more thought energy. You just silence your mind and be with it. Stay with the anger. Stay with that fear, that emotion. What will happen to it? You remember the blocker analogy? He asked Ananda to go and collect water. First time, cannot. Why? The blocker roll over, stir, become muddy. Second time also same. But the third time, after everything quiet down at night, no more stirring. Then he go, he saw the water clear. Then Ananda brought back the water and passed it to the Buddha. The Buddha asked him, what did you learn? This is what your mind is all about. The first two times, why is the water not drinkable? Because the buloka stir. Your mind also says, when you stir, there is no clarity. There is no sati. There is no awareness. That type of mind is polluted, like the water, cannot be drink. Cannot be used, not useful. But when you allow it to settle, don't do anything, what happened? Your mind will return back to its original state of tranquility and stillness. That's why this is the true mind. This one, pasati, is the true mind. This one is the true mind. So So let it return to this original state of stillness and tranquility. And when it returns to this state of stillness and tranquility, where is the anger? Where is the fear? It ceases to be, isn't it? Then why you go and do all the thought-based meditation, not here, not there, focus here, concentrate there, do all the funny thing? The third way is just aware, silent. Be with it, let it cease. Then you realize, eh? If I don't do anything, it ceases. Then my original state, the true mind come back. This is my meditative mind. This is without the evil root. That's how you free. You understand? But this one doesn't develop much wisdom. This one only the wisdom to know that the anger is not you. Fear is not you. The emotion or the mind state is condition arising, dependent on it. The initial wisdom only, not the real wisdom. It cannot root it out. So every time you go out into life, society, when people do that same thing to you, you again react and get angry, then what you do? You go back and silence your mind. Understand? That also cannot live life. Understand? Because every time you got a problem, you cannot resolve it, you go and silence your mind. Because you haven't root out your delusion, your sakayadidhi, your avijja. So how to root it out? The fourth way. What is the fourth way? The Buddha say, trace the origination factor. How did fear arise? How did anger arise? When I see something, I hear something, or I recall something fearful, then that fear arises, or the anger arises. Okay? So it's through one of the sense door. Then when I know this is how it happened, then I ask myself, why did I react like that? Why did I allow my mind to stir and become like that? Why did I allow the mind to condition all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation and evil? It's because I don't have right view, I don't have right understanding, I cannot accept things as they are, I cannot see things as they are. Then the Buddha said, through this understanding, retrospectively reverse it. So to reverse it, you have to straighten your view. How do you straighten your view? You inquire, you reflect. How come every time I do the same thing? How come it's so habitual? Means I don't have right view. I have to straighten my view. So to straighten my view, I ask myself, how can I not react? What is the teaching all about? The Buddha says, see things as they are. So if I see them as they are, if I can accept them for what they are, means the answer is there. You understand? So how do I do that? That's why I give you the answer, because this one was from my past life cultivation. They are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people say angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Fearful people do fearful things. They are just the way they are. And the world is the world. Because the Buddha say, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. If the causes and conditions is already set, means thing is going to be this way. So the reality of the moment is already fixed, set. Your condition is already there. So I cannot want thing my way anymore. Because this is nature's way. You follow or not? That's why you have to accept, no matter what happens, accept the reality. Your condition like that, things will be like that. That's why the Buddha said, imas mean sati idang hoti. Imas mean asati idang hoti. So when I learn from this, this is what the Buddha said. When this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. So why did I arise, the duality? The dislike, the anger, the fear, and all those things. If I can see things as they are and accept the reality of the moment, I'm always at peace. You understand? So this wisdom will unwind your mental stirring and delusion. So next time you hear or see that person, instead of reacting with anger and unhappiness, you have compassion. Because you pity him. He is the way he is. Deluded, he is like that. Selfish, he is like that. Unless there is condition, you can't help. Nature is nature. People are just the way they are. If they don't want to be helped, you can't help. If there's no condition, you help, you become a problem. Understand? So forget about it. Even your loved one, same. When there is no condition, forget about it. Like last time, after 1989, I don't have this thought of wanting to help my parents, my brother. I said, no. Unless there is condition, I won't say anything. And got one time my son knew, he said, Daddy, no condition. I wanted to explain something to my father. I tried two times, oh, cannot go in. And then after that, I stopped. I said, it's okay. You go your way. But finally, after a few weeks, I went back to Alastair again. You know what he talked to me and told me? He said, I got nothing to give you, he said. Because he has not given me anything throughout life. He said, I only hope that this will make you happy, he said. And you know what he gave me? I really have a shock. He gave me a calendar, very big one. I opened it up. It was the Buddha radiant there. Then I know there is the condition to talk to him and teach him. That's why from that moment onward I talked to him. I say, you don't worry. Because his biggest fear was, I become a monk. You understand? That's why he resists listening to me. Because he know if I continue to go that way, I will become a monk. But he doesn't know that my past, I have enough of monkhood. That's why this life, it come. From now onward, it come. It's no longer in that thing. No point. The Dhamma is in the heart, in the nature. You have means you have. It doesn't need a rope to make you a monk. The one that has the Dhamma is the true Arya, disciple of the Buddha, the Sangha, the Aryan Sangha. So the monk doesn't make you the rope. Sorry, the rope doesn't make you a monk. You understand? That's why my teacher Acharyantra say, if the rope make you the monk, he put the rope on the tree, the tree also become monk. You understand? It's as clear as that. So the fourth way is very clear. Retrospectively reverse it and develop the wisdom, the straightening of it. And this is precisely Dhammanupassana, the third category of cultivation. The fourth foundation of mindfulness, the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana, you can recall the five type of practices. First one is what? Mindfulness or what? Huh? Five mental hindrance. Yes, very good. Second one? That's why the five mental hindrance and the five aggregate, every Thursday class also same inside there. And you somehow don't know what they are or what they are for. Then the third one is what? Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external. And this is what the fourth way is. Understand? When you are mindful of the six internal and six external, you will trace the origination factor. You will know how it come about. Then when you trace the origination factor, you will develop the wisdom. You will come to know how, when this sense bases and the external sense data together with the mind, the three, when they come together, they give rise to consciousness. And this consciousness initially in the Paticca-samuppada is just pure vijnana. Then you input the content of consciousness, it becomes nama-rupa. You understand? Then from there, because of the nama-rupa, there must be sense basis. Otherwise this form and mind will not arise. So the sense basis will allow contact. Contact will condition feeling. Feeling will condition craving when there is no wisdom. That's why through all this you will start to see very clearly that all this anger, emotion, feeling, the emotion that is conditioned through your wrong view, they are all impermanent, dependent, originating, not real, not what you think. And they come and they go. They are non-self. They are not you. That's why feeling is not you. Perception is not you. All the sankhara, emotion, fear, anger, hatred, all not you. Even consciousness also not you. They arise and they pass away. You didn't die. You are still around. If they are not you, then why did they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? Well, these are the five aggregates of form and mind. And the Buddha, in his first Noble Truth, final summary, make it very clear. In short, he said, it is due to your self-delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto these five aggregates of form and mind that I call dukkha. That's why if the five aggregates are not pure aggregate, you will grasp, you will cling, you will get into trouble. Without wisdom, you cannot do anything. So the four right effort, they are thought-based. Then after you develop the first right effort, after you have developed the five way, the meditative understanding, the initial wisdom and the understanding already there, then you can do the second right effort. Right effort to prevent the wrong thought from arising. Wrong speech, wrong action. Because by then, you have the mindfulness to see the conditioning coming already. Understand? Then you know, through that wisdom, that understanding, no point. These are delusion. These are heedless living. You will never go back to that old way. That's why you can just prevent it from arising. Then later on you realize it cannot arise anymore. So what are you lacking? The third right effort and the fourth right effort. Because this virtue, when you have the wisdom already, you need to cultivate. You understand? With that wisdom, you cultivate the right thought. Then you know what is right thought. The absence of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So not necessarily only the four Brahma Vihara of Metta, Karuna, then Mudita, and Upeka. These are the four that is taught in the book. But right thought is not limited to these four. Any thought that is virtuous without the evil root is the right thought. So the thought of generosity. But without the sakkayaditti, the ego that say, I want to be generous. You understand? That is the Noble Eightfold Path type of right thought. Without the delusion. So during that time, when you cultivate right thought, it's just pure thought. With the understanding, you just know, I have to be kind. I have to be generous. I have to be pleasant. That's why you will arise that type of speech that are very gentle, very pleasant, and very, very useful thought that brings about harmony, that brings about understanding, love. And you will not arise all those deceitful thoughts anymore. Then you know humility is very important. Because when you have humility, you don't have ego, understand or not? Then you develop more and more humility. Your egoic mind is no more. Then praise and blame, all those things will not affect you. You hate no you, hate no me. Because all this cannot. So humility means you understand within the mundane world, the conditioned world, there is karma, there is virtue. All these are there, the Dhamma are there. But in the unconditioned, all these don't exist. That's why you will know how to apply all this through the understanding. That's why this form and mind, you will do your duty. Understand? You will pay respect to people. Even though he know you, he know me. When there is condition, you will do. You will pay respect to Triple Gem. Yeah, this is wisdom, understanding. Knowing that the form and mind is subject to karma. The form and mind develops wholesomeness and all those things. So without the understanding and the wisdom, the third right effort and fourth right effort you cannot do. But when you do, your Noble Eightfold Path fall into place. You understand? That's how thought-based is different. But thought-based, the Buddha modified into the four right effort, which is so beautiful. You understand? He didn't use that to meditate. He used that to purify your thought. You understand? The wrong thought you abandon, he said. Using the five way, he teach you how to meditate, develop the initial wisdom. Then the second right effort, he say, prevent them from arising. Then the third right effort, after you have developed the wisdom through the first right effort, you can arise the third right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, or all the virtue that are still not in you. You understand? Well, by then, you got no more sakkayaditti. That's why Noble Eightfold Path can be cultivated through right view. The three right view, law of karma, law of mind. and law of Dhamma. So all this will fall into place. Okay? Yeah. So I hope you understand. Huh? So you don't worry about how to develop this four right effort. Don't go and have this wrong idea. Say, Brother Teo say, don't use thought. So he very scared of using thought. Why not just silent and do? Not like that. When it comes to four right effort, you have to use thought. Then when it comes to meditation, you have to be mindful. That's it. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path, they have thought and no thought. They have mindfulness and the four right effort. So people don't understand. No? People always say, because Krishnamurti always use that famous sentence, wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. Remember? Who arises the effort? So how can you use thought to meditate? He's right. Then they will tell you, hey, Buddha say got four right effort, no. Why you say Krishnamurti is right? Wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. But Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, no. That's why they don't understand. They argue with you. Because the effort is for thought. Thought-based. For thought, you use. But after that, he teach you the five way. The third and fourth is meditative way. Understand or not? Mindfulness. Awareness. Then through that, develop the wisdom. Then only you can cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Because without that right effort to drive you, you will not understand how to cultivate. Because if you don't abandon the unwholesome thought, you cannot progress. The three way of right conduct cannot arise. Sense restraint cannot arise. It can only arise after you have the four right effort together with your daily mindfulness. That's why all these are connected, interconnected, linked together. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I think we better stop. That's why I heard the alarm. Yeah, so we rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You realize or not, didn't make noise already. Okay, you will do the sharing of merits, the transfer of merits. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Akka satta cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana ita wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect to all the wise being and the great being. And we will end. Thank you.
each and every one of us for being here tonight, and sadhu for bringing all the offerings to the Triple Gem.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Well, tune and accounting for allowing us and inviting all of us.